Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, October 7th. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 33, paragraph 2, begins with young people may be encouraged, and ends with those who had been drinking 20 years. Today's readers are Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Marie M. for the 12 Traditions, Eileen M. will read and comment on our share today, Jordan L. will read 164, and Jody E. is here for backup. Thank you. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, October 6th is 19489. That's 19489. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, October 7th, is 19492, 19,492. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Lane. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm grateful for recovered compulsive overeater, the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. And I'll now ask Marie M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Marie M. from Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. And hello to my fellows. Welcome to newcomers today. And Elaine, thank you for your service. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to a compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Marie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 33, paragraph 2. And I will ask Eileen M. to please read and then comment on that paragraph for us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that they can stop, as he did, on their own willpower. We doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop. And hardly one of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already acquired, will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. Wow. You know, I was thinking that the phrase that jumps out at me with really jumps out at me is the phrase in the middle of the paragraph. It says, because none will really want to stop. And what came to me was, I think that this disease and recovery is all about stages. At least it was for me, or it is for me, is there are these stages that you go through. And, you know, I think about when I first got into OA, it was, I'm coming up on an anniversary here. It was 1989. I started OA, and, I remember that day really well. I came in, I had just binged the night before, and I was really desperate, and I needed answers, and I needed help, and I came in, and, I only thought I was desperate, because, I started doing the work that was asked of me, and I kept getting hung up on the mental twist for me was I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as these other people. You know, I can do this on my own. I'm only a few pounds overweight. No big deal, right? And, I was in that stage of, I don't really want to stop. I really don't want to, you know. I tried for years. I spent years trying to find a way that I could still somehow compulsively overeat now and then, you know, just now and then without too many consequences. And that didn't work very well. That progressed into the next stage, which was, well, maybe I want to stop. You know, maybe I just want to stop. So, more misery, more overeating led to more misery, and that progressed into, okay, I really want to stop now. I'm really desperate. And I had periods of serious desperation. And it was the mental twist for me, you know, always came back in thinking I'm not that bad, and that always stopped any progress. You know, but I finally did get to a stage where, you know, the last stage for me was, okay, I can't stop. You know, that realization of I can't stay stopped on my own power. And that's when I really, you know, pursued the solution. You know, like they say in program, you know, we work on the steps like our hair's on fire. And that's what I did. And, you know, the step work for me revealed that my powerlessness goes much deeper than compulsive eating. And, you know, it's so amazing. I see all the ways that I'm powerless, you know, and thought that, oh, I can control these things. And, you know, I can't. That's the thing. And I think, you know, you're just ready when you're ready. Because I see this happening a lot in the rooms, too, is I see people come in and they seem to be desperate, but then they're really not desperate. And they kind of go through these stages like I did, you know, and you know, it's so true. You really have to hit bottom, you know, to do this work. Because unless you're entirely desperate, you're not going to want to do it, because it is a lot of work, but it's completely
gentle
worth
reminder.
It. Thank you so much. I really am grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Great start for today. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others can share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, page 33, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Bruce E.
Donna
E. Elaine G.
I heard Donna and...
Elaine G.
Elaine G.
Kim T.
Kim T?
Yeah.
Jordan L. Jordan L.
Leslie M.C.
Leslie M.C. Okay. That sounds like a great lineup. I've got Bruce C., Donna S., Elaine G., Kim T., Jordan L., and Lisa M.C. Wow, you guys were easier on me. I think I got everybody right. But if I didn't, just let me know. Okay, Bruce C., you're up first, followed by Donna S. Please share with us, Bruce.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share. And yeah, I feel very grateful, feel very good today. Very grateful that I didn't lose my home. I'm on Sanibel Island, Florida, and I'm up 8 feet on stilts, and the water went up 6 feet. So I lost everything down below, which was my two cars and everything else, but it looks like I saved my home. I won't know until I get there in a week, and then I'll know if the home's okay. But I'm very grateful that the home's still there. So this reading was outstanding. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience, may be encouraged that they can stop. We doubt if any of them can do it because none will really want to stop. Well, when I was young, you know, I'm older now, but when I was young and I started out in this food addiction racket, you know, I didn't stop. Because I didn't want to stop. If I'd wanted to stop, maybe I would have back then. You know, maybe I would have saved myself all these years of pain and misery. But I didn't want to stop. And I didn't think I had any problem. I had to go into the problem for many years and suffer all this pain to finally get to the point where I wanted to stop. You know, so I didn't want to stop. Now I want to stop. Different now because I'm recovered now finally after being in the program over 30 years. And hardly one of them because of this peculiar mental twist already acquired. Okay, so you already got the mental, already had the mental twist. And because of that, I'm not going to stop anyway. So the mental twist is, and I liked Eileen's share on that, very good, and I agree with it. The mental twist for me, in addition to that, is just something that is, it's not, I can't see it, I can't feel it, I don't know about it. It's just something that for years just caused me to grab the compulsive addictive foods. It was just sort of a thing in between my rational thinking and my grabbing the food. There was just like a little fraction of an instant of a space in there where I just grabbed the food, you know. And I didn't even have any time to think about it. I just did it. And if I'd thought about it, I would have done it anyway, you know, so it didn't matter, you know. So this mental twist, it's a weird thing. And it seems to be what I get as an addict, what I have it as an addict. And I don't know when I acquired it, you know, but I did. But I have this mental twist. And it can come back, you know, it can come back if I start going back and experimenting. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Brucey. So sorry to hear about your house. I hope it's fine. I hope it's there. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God for programming times like that. Wow. Any day. Donna S., you are up next, and you're followed by Elaine G.
Hi, I'm Donna S. in South Florida. Thank you so much for your service and the two shares that I heard already. I don't have the book in front of me because I'm taking my morning walk, but this is kind of the stuff that came to me. If I'm not willing to work the program, I'm not gonna do it. And it doesn't matter how old I am, because I have I'm not talking about, really don't want to talk about another program, but I started another program years ago, and I was on my knees. I was so, so desperate, and it took a while, but I continually went back, and then I felt like I got the program, and I continually go to one of those meetings, and I've been coming to OA for a while, and I always think I'm desperate, but it was never that same desperation that I was at that old program, so I know that feeling of desperation. But I want the program, but that's not enough, because I believe that I have to have my higher power first, because if I don't, I'm just in myself, in my head, in that mental twist, and all that garbage that, you know, that my disease has. And I feel like I hit bottom. I know that I'm a compulsive overeater, but I always take my will in my hands. And that is my bad. I understand food plans. If we're in this program, I feel like we know how to eat. We know how to do all that stuff. We just have the mental stuff going on that we can't control it. So that's why I always have to, if I put my higher power on top of everything, I can look at something, I know my portion, I know that maybe I should be weighing it, I know what I got to do, but my mind is messed up. And that's all I have to share for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna S. Elaine G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Kim T.
Hi, this is Elaine G. from New York. Glad to be here, always grateful. Anyway, about the paragraph, the paragraph is like talking about the mental twist. It's like your disease. Tells you don't need help from OA. You can do all this by yourself, you know. And I was speaking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and hopefully, you know, I don't have really any abstinence to talk about, but I like to do outreach calls. I think it's going to help me, help them, help me, you know. And she said she went to Weight Watchers and got on the scale, gained weight. Anyway, the point I'm admitting is that, you know, she was really hard on herself. But anyway, about the program, they tell you to weigh yourself once a month, you know. Weight Watchers conflicts with this. But anyway, when I'm working the program and listening to my food sponsor and my big book sponsor, I can stay abstinent. And most of all, and I pray to God. I can't do nothing without God. No, no, oh no. I have to, God is definitely in the picture. And so anyway, I hope I helped that newcomer. No, because it's all about doing service. And that's it for me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Appreciate your share. Okay, Kim T., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Kim T. from Colorado, compulsive overeater, and grateful to be on this line this morning. So something someone said earlier about eating at the meeting or eating while they were in the meeting or something to that effect, but it just reminded me when I was a young person, which was a long time ago, I went to my first meeting when I was about 18 and a half, and I was at college, and I took a bus to get there because I didn't have a car at the time. And the first night, I got off the bus, and then I went into a convenience store and bought a pound bag of M&Ms because I just couldn't deal. The next night, or whenever the next time was that I could make a meeting, I got on the bus again, and then I went to the meeting. And even though I heard things that made no sense to me, what made sense to me was that here were some people, and, you know, although they were ancient to me at the time, and what they were talking about was feelings and actions that I had taken or felt for my entire life. And so I got that at least. So the power of meetings is important for me. Let's see. None will really want to stop. And didn't realize how much that was true for me, because I thought when I first came in, I really wanted to stop. But again, that was a long time ago. And I didn't really want to stop because I didn't understand the full implication of this peculiar mental twist or what it meant to work the steps, to work the program. And once I learned more of that, you know, I've come and gone through the years. And by the grace of God, I'm here to stay. I'm a bit scattered. The other thing I wanted to say was I've taken some health coaching courses and gotten a certificate, and I've done different things in the outside world, I'll say, to make it seem like, and if any friends in the outside world would say, oh yeah, Kim's very health conscious and all that. So even though I had all this head knowledge, I didn't know how to eat for myself. I didn't know how to eat to keep the food down and to make the food quiet and to not have the food be exciting. And it took this program, and it took many years in this program, for me to start to understand that and start to understand that was the key for me. No diet was going to ever, ever, ever replace this program. So I am really grateful to be here today and be encouraged by all of
gentle
you.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, thank you, and I will pass. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you so much, Kim T. Jordan L., you are up next, followed by Leslie M.C., and then we'll take another lineup on page 33, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning, and grateful for all of the folks that have shared so far. So I was pretty young when I came to OA. I was 23 when I came in 2012. I was weighed 250 pounds. I was the heaviest I had ever been. I weighed probably over 250 pounds. I was in my final year of college. I was trying to graduate. This was the third college I had gone to. So I was just trying to graduate and get that degree. And I was in a codependent relationship with another compulsive overeater. He weighed over 300 pounds. And life was super, super unmanageable. And I came into OA, and I carried that weight around like a million friggin' pounds, right? And I definitely would have told you, like, I need to lose this weight. I want to lose this weight. I need a solution. I need something, you know, something different. And what it came down to was, I didn't really want to stop compulsively overeating. I wanted to be able to get rid of that weight and eat my alcoholic foods every once in a while, you know? And you hear that story a lot in AA too, about people coming in and just wanting to be able to have a drink every once in a while. And so I appreciate the big book addressing that. And addressing this peculiar mental twist, you know, like it took 5 years after that to get and stay abstinent and really, really be desperate enough to take a long, hard, honest look at my own experience to understand exactly what that peculiar mental twist is. What it sounds like in my head, the relationship that it has to the circumstances going on around me, all of that, and that's only self knowledge. Like, important, it's important for me to have a clear understanding of all of that, but that's not even the solution, right?
Gentle reminder.
I'll wrap up. That's not even the solution. Like, the actual solution comes in after I'm willing to say, like, no amount of circumstances is going to keep me abstinent. And no amount of work is going to, like, enable me to, like, get this, so to speak, right? Like, this really is, it's a surrender job. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
And thank you very much, Jordan. Okay, Leslie MC is up next, and after Leslie, we will take a new lineup. So please share with us, Leslie MC.
Hi, guys. It's Leslie MC, a compulsive overeater. Just really thrilled to be sharing for the first time in Vision. I've been in OA since 2003, and here just recently, my sponsor talked about she was going to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I said, you remember that Vision? So I came back, and you guys were the cure for the mental twist that I needed. My mental twist here recently has been diets don't work. Every food in moderation. But you guys showed me in my higher power that, you know, illuminated this for me that, yeah, diets don't work, but OA is not a diet. And that what alcoholic can have alcohol in moderation. So every time I think about it, I think about that's my alcoholic food. But really in the times where I couldn't do anything else, I just always taught me, just get closer to your higher power. That's all you need to do. Drop everything else, because I get into this mode where I think I can do it. I can regain my abstinence, but I can't. Only my higher power can. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I learned that. Surrender's the key. And I hope some of this makes sense, but with what I said, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie MC. Where are you calling from? Oh, didn't get a chance to ask her. Okay, now we are going to take another lineup on page 33, paragraph 2. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, please let me know if you'd like to share.
Jody E.
Alexis F.
I heard Evan Jody R. E. Alexis F. And Kevin R., was it?
Evan with an E.
Evan R. Okay. Lisa N. Lisa N.
Joan R.
Somebody R.
Joan R.
Joan R. And I think that is going to be all we have time for and may not even make it through that. So let's do the best we can. Okay, I've got Jody E., Alexis F., Evan R., Lisa N., and Joan R. Jody E., please share with us. You're followed by Alexis F.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered from California. So I found OA relatively young, at the age of 29. That was 34 years ago. And I wanted to stop eating compulsively, but I didn't know about the alcoholic, the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind for quite a while. And when it came down to it, I really wasn't willing to stop eating my alcoholic foods. It took several years for me to become willing to do that. And then once I did start to abstain entirely from my alcoholic foods, I didn't work the steps. Of course, the mental twist came back and my binging got worse. For me, abstaining without working the steps is a recipe for the progression of my disease. I'm just feeling deprived. And then when I pick up the food again, it's just like to the races. So I need both. I need the physical abstinence and I need, above all, the spiritual solution that can be had by working the 12 steps. So it has taken me a long time, as it sounds like it has taken many others, to become willing to abstain, and then to learn to work these steps as if my life depends on it, which it does, and to work them continually, every day. Never, I can't rest on my laurels. My disease does not take a vacation. It doesn't take a day off. It doesn't give me holidays. And that might sound unfortunate, but it really isn't. It's really a blessing because my disease is what keeps me connected to my higher power and to my fellows. And that is a blessing. And it enables me to have a life worth living. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Alexis F., you're up next, followed by Evan R. Please share with us, Alexis.
Yes, I believe that you tie a knot in your rope, and the rope has a mysterious way of lengthening. God is a mystery. I don't think any one of us can claim solid victory and recovery over compulsive overeating. It's a disease. Who God chooses to give healing from cancer, is not up to us. Why children are born a certain way is not up to us. We don't control those things. He controls it, or the power of the universe, or higher power, whatever you want to call it. In my history of overeating, I was a very fat baby. I thinned out. I think I had a resentment against having my food taken away from me because of other circumstances in my life when I was a baby. And there were other things that happened. But I had a connection with God. I'd get on my knees every night and pray that my mother would get better. And I don't want to do that to my kids. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Alexis S. Evan R., you're up next, followed by Lisa M.
Hi, Evan R. here from Southern California. Long-time listener because of this meeting. Very thankful. 2.5 years of abstinence, but I kind of got complacent on not sharing. And that was like a piece of my mental twist was, if my food's good, everything's good. And for the most part, that's true, but there are ways to, I guess, slip outside of eating. And, you know, I know my recovery's contingent on spiritual maintenance. But looking at the reading, you know, I came in, I was someone that was less than 30, and I knew that binging was bad. Like, that was very obvious. I didn't really have that twist. But for me, when I found out that, oh, I shouldn't eat this certain food, or I can't do this exercise behavior or count these calories, that's when I came across resistance. And then I realized, well, I wanted to stop binging, but I didn't want to stop doing X or stop doing Y. And the thing was, you know, I might stop doing X, but I kept doing Y, then eventually I would binge, and I could never really get past, you know, 30, 60 days, and I wondered why, because I wasn't really to really listen, but also get rid of essentially all of the, not only compulsive eating, but compulsive eating behaviors. And for me, a big one was body obsession. But now, essentially, I've been able to unveil it all, look at myself, be honest with, like, I guess my other aspects of compulsive overeating, because for me, binging wasn't the only one. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into it. And then when I got really honest, that's essentially when I could make the change. So thank you very much. That's it.
Well, thank you very much, Evan R. Okay, Lisa N., you're up next, followed by Joan R. And Lisa, where are you calling from?
Hey, Lisa N., gratefully recovered in Georgia. Oh, good morning, everybody. You know, it's interesting. This paragraph is really hitting home for me today because it's. I'm reflecting, of course, on my own journey, but I'm looking. I really want. I'm looking at that word "want," you know, and I'm thinking about. You know, I know this isn't an Al-Anon me, so I'm not going to go into details. But I have an addict son, and I'm looking at him, thinking, Jesus, your life is a mess, unmanageability, left and right, this and that. He doesn't want to stop. And why? Because he's getting something from it. He's still getting the effect, and it's working. It's working for him. And so I think of, you know, it's really helping me to have more empathy for him, more understanding. And when I look at my own journey, you know, I mean, the want, yeah, the want's got to be there. Who knows? You know, my mom used to tell me, you know, Lisa, it's going to take what it's going to take. And this was years and years ago, getting into the beverage program. It's going to take what it's going to take. And sadly, for some people, it's not going to take, you know, so I, you know, I'm filled with gratitude today that, you know, I don't know, you know, I wanted it enough. I listened to somebody enough. I wanted what they had. I did what they did. And I have what they have today. And I certainly don't want to let go of it. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. Joan R., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity to just share, and I'm so grateful for Vision for You. I've actually been in OA for about 52 years, and I just really, really want to encourage people that are new that this program of recovery from this disease, one day at a time, really, really works to basically stay in the present moment. And one thing I've learned lately is from my dog. I'll be sitting there in my prayer time, sitting like I do in my bed, and he's sitting on the floor looking up at me like the most hopeful, so excited just to be looking at me and expecting the most wonderful things to happen to him. And so I thought, well, that'd be a good way to look at my higher power, you know, instead of just trying to figure even my prayer time out. You know, this is not and I tell people that I work with all the time, this is not a figuring out program. It is a program that it specifically uses the experience, strength, and hope of the first 100 recovered alcoholics. And that's when I began really accepting that and learning these actions and, well, the words and the actions, like my sponsor did, and her always gentle taking me back to the pages, that whatever I was happening at the moment, taking me back to the page that would address that. And so if you're new, and that's my experience straight from hope, is to stay in the present moment, know that there is a being that loves us beyond anything we can think or imagine, and follow these directions. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Joan R. And it does look as though we'll have time for a couple more shares. And so maybe a 3-minute and a 2-minute share. So who would like to comment on page 33, paragraph 2? Star 1 to unmute.
Betsy G.
Betsy G. And then one for a 2-minute share. Anybody want to jump in for that? Okay, please share with us, Betsy.
Hi, am I still unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. I'm sorry. Betsy G in Maryland. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate this meeting. I'm so very grateful to have found a vision for you. And this deep dive we do into the big book daily is, you know, I'm not being dramatic when I say it is saving my life. It is. So, you know, the reading is... just to repeat everything everybody's already said. Like, when I had the power to quit, I didn't want to. You know, I try to be gentle with myself. I didn't know the danger that I was in. Overeating and the other substances that, you know, proved to be alcoholic in my life were exciting and made life interesting and made life, you know, fun. And it wasn't till later that they became the solution, that they became something that I sought to feel better. And by then it was too late. I was in trouble. So I'm just grateful that this solution exists and that I do now know about the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. And, you know, I encourage any newcomers out there or returning dig in, find somebody to work with, and dig into this program. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you very much, Betsy G. Okay, we do have time for another share. Who would like to take our last share for today?
I'll take the last share, Maria F. from Dublin.
Okay, Maria F. from Dublin, please share with us.
Hi there, my name is Maria F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm from County Dublin in Ireland, and so delighted to be here at the meeting.
Yeah, and just hearing that, you know, didn't want to stop, you know, couldn't stop. And so for me, when I came in, it was all about the food, stopping the food. And to be very honest, I don't know that I wanted to stop. I just wanted a way where, you know, give me the right diet, tell me what I can do, tell me how I can eat and get thin, because that's what I wanted. Didn't know that I had a problem with my head. Didn't know that, you know, the problem lay in my mind, as the big book tells me. You know, I thought it was everything to do with food, and it presented as everything to do with food. Didn't know that I had a physical allergy, and I certainly didn't know that I was powerless, because I was always trying to exert power. You know, I tried it this way, I tried it that way. And I have absolutely no power. And stopping, you know, really had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the steps. It had to do with this problem being removed by a higher power, but not by me. I had tried. I came into OA when I was 19, and I ate for 26 more years. So I had absolutely no power, and I had lost the power of choice when it came to the food. I no longer had a choice. When the compulsion came, I would be in the food. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself through working the steps, through finding a sponsor and working the steps. And I didn't know that stopping or this problem being removed was ever possible. If you told me that, I wouldn't have believed you. I would not have believed you. And the steps have given me so much more in life. You know, if you told me when I came into the rooms, you know, you will have your trials around food today, that would have been, you know, like a dream come true. And so much more gifts have been given to me through these steps, through this program, through a relationship with the higher power, and doing the work that I need to do on a daily basis. Because I, you know, I can't stay clean today and yesterday shower. You know, I get up and I do the same things again today, and that keep me well, that keep me connected with a higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marie S., and thank you everybody that has shared. We'll now transition the meeting with a reading of the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.